All right, Jabosa, let's begin. So first of all, our shir today is dedicated in memory of Rabbi Price, Zichrono Livracha, whose yard site is being observed today, Rav Shlomo Aryeh ben Ramosha, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah.
Amen.
All right, so today's daf is Mem Aleph. We are going to begin Emir Tzarshem on Daf Mem Amud Beis. On the top of Mem Aleph. So says the Gemara, Stam Sifra Mani, Rabbi Yehuda. Suppose I remember the Gemara quoted a Braisa yesterday, at the end of yesterday's Daf. So now the Gemara says, actually towards the middle of yesterday's Daf, we're talking about the whole issue with Hagrava, the whole issue ultimately with drawing lots. So the Gemara says over here, Stam Sifra Mani, whose opinion does the Stam Sifra, does look at Rashi, Toras Kohanim, Rabbi Hudi, he hachi karam b'sanhedrin, v'huba Toras Kohanim, the hakra b'sefer v'yikra k'siv. So who does a braisa in the Sifra, whose opinion is that reflective of? Rabbi Huda, v'katoni hagoral osechatos, v'ein Hashem osechatos. And yet what did the braisa say? The braisa said that it is the goral that establishes the identity of the animal as a chatos, and yet the shame, simple verbal designation, does not establish the animal as a chatos. Alma hagrava me'akva. Therefore, what do you see from here? That hagrava, the drawing of the lots, is actually ma'akev. So the Gemara says, you're right. Tiyufta d'man d'amar hagrava lo ma'akva tiyufta. This effectively, I should have actually read these last four lines in yesterday because they're just a continuation of yesterday's discussion. But the Gemara says, you see from the braisa that we quoted on the previous daf that hagrava is ma'akev. So also again, remember, we already saw the Rambam yesterday who explained that in fact that's how we paskin, that the hagrava, the drawing of the lots for the two seirim, is an indispensable part of the day's avoda. The hanocha, the placement of the lots, is a mitzvah, but it's not an indispensable piece. So if you were to not go ahead and do the hagrava, you would invalidate the service. But if you were to omit the hanocha, the service would still be perfectly fine. Says Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chista, Ein hakinin misparshos, ela obelikichas bailim, o basias koin. Rav Chista comes along Rav Chista, and Rav Chista says, kinin, Rav Chista, remember, refers to the bird pairs. So you have different cases of where you have bird pairs. There are situations of by yoledes, woman who gives birth. There are situations by a zav, or by a zava. These are all circumstances where a person is bringing two birds. Usually one is for a chatos and one is for an ola. So Rav Chista says that the designation of the birds for their respective purposes can only be done in one of two times, either when you purchase the birds or when the kohen is actually performing the avoda. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Eina kinin misparshos, Ezali ola ve'ezali chatos. Again, Rabbi said just a simple case: a woman gave birth. She's going to have to go ahead and bring two birds as part of her karbonos. One is going to go ahead and be a chatos. One is going to be an ola. So when do you designate each bird for a specific purpose? So look at Rashi. He says ela obelikichas bailim, either when the owner's purchase imki sheknan omer ze ani lokeach li ola. So again, if the woman purchased the birds, she said, this bird over here is for a chatas, this bird over here is for an ola. The kohen, when he does the avoda, does not have the ability to change those designations. And furthermore, if the kohen did change the designation, puzzle, he invalidates the offering. But if when she bought the birds, she did not identify which bird was going to be used for what. Even if she designated them afterwards, ain shame chal alehem. So the designation that she made does not devolve upon them. V'yachal hakohen lishanosam, and the kohen could go ahead and change the designations. Okay, so we'll say this is, we're going to be spending a lot of time in this position on Chista. Chista says again, when it comes to the bird pairs, you have two opportunities to designate their identities. Either again at the time of purchase or at the time ultimately of the actual offering. Those are the two times, which means if at any point in between those two points you were to go ahead and say this bird is a chatas, this bird is an ola, such a designation would effectively be meaningless. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Simi bar Ashi, my time with Rav Chista. Bless you. What's Rav Chista's logic? Where does he get this from? Dichsib, because the Pasuk says, V'lokcha v'asa. Because we'll say, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, again, the first Pasuk is, V'im lo simsa yada desa, V'lokcha shtei torim. So talking about, so V'lokcha, so you have the Lashon of Likicha over here by the bird offering, and you also have the Lashon over here, V'asa hakoin esa echad chatas, the esa echad ola. So when it comes to when it comes to this particular service, you have two verbs that are used. The lakha, she will take, and the asa, he will do. So Rav Chista understands from there, o bilikicha, o ba'asiya. You could designate the identities of the animal either at the time when you purchase it, the lakha, or at the time when the coin actually does the avoda. Look at Rashi, the lakha va'asa. This is written by a Yoled, a woman who gave birth. What's interesting over here is, remember, there are multiple cases where you're bringing the bird offering, right? You could be doing it in a case of Yoled, a woman who gave birth. You could be doing it by a Mitzorah. You could be doing it by a Zav, a Zav. These are all cases where there are two birds. So the Gemara just discusses the idea that there are two verbs that show up in these different contexts. Again, the lakha, the asa. And therefore, Rav Chista understands that designation of the identity of the birds. Remember, one is going to be a chatas, one is going to be an ola, can be established at one of two intervals. Either shas lekicha, when you purchase it, or zman asiya, when the coin actually does the avoda. But at any other time in the process, a designation would essentially be insignificant. So Gemara raise a kasha. Mesve, raise a kasha. V'asol chatas. Going back to our Seir La'azazel. So the Torah says again, by the two Seirim, V'asol chatas, you will make it into an offering. So the Gemara darshins, Hagoral ose chatas, V'ein Hashem ose chatas. It is only the Goral, it is only the drawing of the lots that establishes the identity of the animal as a chatas, but simple verbal designation does not establish the animal as a chatos. So the Gemara says, V'halo dinhu, but I could have made a kavachomer. Uma b'makom shelo kidesh hagoral kidesh Hashem. Now I will say, listen to this. This is just repeating the Gemara actually from yesterday. Now in a situation where a goral doesn't work, but yet verbal designation does work. So I will say, what's a case of where a lottery does not determine the identity of the animal, but yet again verbal designation does? Where does that happen? Birds, that's in birds. Every other case. It's not just birds. It's pretty much, remember, the only time we draw lots to establish identity is the Se'irim of Yom Kippur. Every other case, a carbon is designated by a verbal designation. So if in every other case where you don't have a goral, verbal designation works, makom shekidesh agoral eno din shi kadesh Hashem, then all the more so in a situation where you do have a goral, where you do have a lottery, still verbal designation should certainly work there. Meaning on both sides, the assumption the Gemara is making over here is that lemaisa, the goral should just be viewed as another way of designating the animal, but it should not in any way detract from the normal primary way of designating the animal. So if under normal circumstances where you don't have a goral, verbal designation does work, then all the more so what? In a situation where you do have a goral, that verbal designation should certainly work. Tamulomer, therefore the Pasuk says, Va'asol chatos. Therefore the Pasuk says, no, this will make it a chatos. What is the this? Hagoral ose chatos, ve'en Hashem ose chatos. Oh, what do we learn from here? That it's only the lottery that makes the animal into a chatos. Verbal designation does not. Now, Bosa Navi Gemara asks about one second. So now what you're telling me is this, the Havamina of the Gemara is that even by the Seir, even by the goats of Yom Kippur, verbal designation would work. Now, Bosa, now we're also assuming that, remember, we're saying the same way that lottery would work, verbal designation would work. Now, we're also assuming that means that the verbal designation could have been done at the same time that the lottery is being done. Now, so the Gemara asks, but one second. V'ha-ha-cha, v'lav shas l'kicha, v'lav shas asiyahi, v'katani d'kava. Now, the havamina of your question is that verbal designation should work, and what? And that verbal designation should work at the same time that the lottery should work. the lottery itself is not done either at the time of the purchase of the animal or at the time of the actual avoda. This contradicts Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda just said before what the Bosai said, that the only time that you could designate an animal, a particular identity to an animal, is when? Is either at the time of purchase or at the time of the actual avoda. But now, what the Havamin of the Gemara is that verbal designation should work by the Seirim, and it should work in the same way that the Goral does. The Goral doesn't take place at the time of purchase or at the time, ultimately, of Avoda. And so to the Havamina is that the naming or the verbal designation would also apply not necessarily at a time of Likicha or Nasiya. That contradicts Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. So if you take Amar Rava says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say. Ma b'makom shelo kidesh ha-goral, afilu b'shas l'kicha v'afilu b'shas asiya, kidesh ha-shem. I will say, if it comes, so Rabbi says, this is what the Gemara, this is the Havamin of the Gemara. When it comes, ma b'makom shelo kidesh ha-goral, if when you have a situation where the goral is not in effect, v'afilu b'shas l'kicha v'afilu b'shas asiya, meaning, I will say, under normal circumstances, Rabbi says, a goral cannot effectively create an identity for an animal. And that's true even if you do the goral at the time of the purchase of the animal or at the time of the actual sacrificial service. Yet in those cases where a goral would not work, kidesh Hashem b'shas l'kicho b'shas asiya. Yet what? In those cases where a goral wouldn't work, yet verbal designation would work if done at shas asiya or shas l'kicho, or shas l'kicho, shas asiya. Makom shekidesh hagoral shelo b'shas l'kicha v'shelo b'shas asiya. So therefore, in a case of where you have a goral and the goral is able to go ahead and designate the identity of the animal, and amazingly enough, it doesn't have to be done at the time of the purchase or at the time of the actual sacrificial service. Eino din sheyekadesh Hashem b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya. So most of the way Rav is understanding it over here is the Kavachomer is like this: if under normal circumstances, all you could go around does not work, even if done at the shas l'kicha, the time of the purchase of the animal, or at the time of the sacrificial service. But yet in those cases, shame, verbal designation does work. All the more so in a case where goral does work, even when, at a time of when it's not l'kicha and it's not asiya, certainly then verbal designation should at least work when b'shas l'kicha and b'shas asiya. Talmud Lomar v'yasol chatos. Therefore, the pasuk says, "No, it is you will make it into a chatos." What does that mean? Hagoral osechatos ve'in hashem osechatos. Therefore, the Gemara understands that no, the pasuk tells me it is the goral that makes it a chatos v'yasol chatos. The goral makes it into a chatos. The lottery makes it into a chatos, and the shame, the verbal designation, does not. Says the Gemara. Tashma metame mikdash anir. This is an interesting case. Look at Rashi. Literally, metame mikdash means someone who defiles the mikdash. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Metame mikdash, hanichnas lemikdash tame. Somebody walks into the base of mikdash and they are tame. So, also that's obviously we're talking about somebody who did this accidentally. So, this is a violation. A person has to bring a carbon. Now, what's interesting over here is v'hu v'karbon ole v'yoreit ashirus v'dalos v'dalei dalos hamura etzal shvuas bitui u'shvuas kol u'shvuas kol ola. So listen
to this case.
A person becomes tame, and let's keep it simple. A person enters into the Beis HaMikdash not realizing that they are in a state of tuma. So there's a carbon for this. There's a sin offering a person has to bring. But it's what's called the carbon ola v'yoreit. A carbon ola v'yoreit literally is a carbon whose value depends on how much money you have. If a person is rich, they bring one type of carbon. If a person is poor, they bring another type of carbon. If a person is mamish impoverished, they bring a third type of carbon. So the Gemara says something very interesting. What happens if you have a person, metame mikdash, a person walked into the Beis HaMikdash when they were tame, and what happens? Ani. And a person, Matai Mikdash Ani, the person who came in was poor. Vehifrish Ma'os Likino. So we'll say, if you are poor, the offering that you have to bring is a pair of birds. That's a poor man's offering. You bring a pair of birds. So let's say, again, Reuven is poor. He enters into the Beis HaMikdash when he's tame. He separates out his bird pair to bring. And what happens? Mazel Tov. He won the Mega Millions, right? Veheshir. Now he's rich. So what happens? Ve'achar kach. And after he becomes rich, now, I will say, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, V'heshir, V'tzarach l'havi ba'ashirus. Now, I will say, obviously, in addition to his newfound wealth, the interesting kasha is what? Is that now a rich man brings a different type of carbon. So now again, so what happened? V'achar kach omer elu l'chatoso ve'elu l'olaso. And what happens? And afterwards, look at Rashi for just a moment. Chole kamaos. So now what happens? I have my money that I had originally set aside for my bird pair. And then afterwards, I go ahead and I divide the money. Rashi says, Chole kamaos upiresh va'amr elu lechatoso ve'elu la'aloso. I say, remember, again, the two birds that are brought, one is a chatos, one is an ola. And what happens? Apa gav she'in karban ani achshav alav chova ela karban ashir. The ain be carbon ashir ola ela chatos behima kishabala bezdin yomulo bezdin carbon ashir. So let's listen to this. So now what happens? So again, follow this progression. Ruben goes in the face of Mikdash Tame. He's an ani. He's gonna go ahead and he's gonna bring a bird pair. So what does he do? He separates $50 for his bird pair. Then what happens? He becomes rich. After he becomes rich, what does he do? He doesn't change his carbon. Now remember, an usher, a richer person, will not bring a bird pair. He'll bring one animal offering for a carbon chatos. We'll just bring a chatos offering, an animal offering. So what happens? But he doesn't change his carbon. Instead, what he does is he takes the $50 and he says 25 is for the ola bird, 25 is for the chatos bird. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Mosif umevi chovaso midme chatoso. So what does he do? He adds on to the money he adds on to the chatos money. And so we'll say again, so he takes his $25 that was set aside for chatos, and he adds on to that to be able to bring an animal chatos, but he does not add on to the ola money. Okay, look at Rashi. Mosif mi beiso adnei behemo, maybe chovasa behemo, midam shekolem shalchatos. He takes the money that he set aside for the berchatos, he adds on to it, and now he uses that for his animal chatos. Look at next Rashi. Ve'in mosif umevi, but he does not add on to the ola fund. Why not? So ve'in mosif umevi chatos behemo midme olaso. She'ein yochol lishanosan lema'o she'afrishan she'kar lahem shem ola likach ben chata. So both like, but what can't he do? He can't take the money that was designated for an ola and now switch that money to purchase a chatos. Why not? Because apparently once money has been designated for ola purposes, you cannot go ahead and change that money to chata. So both say again, one more time. So now he separated the money at first, but did not designate the money. Then he becomes rich. Now that he becomes rich, he's not bringing a bird pair. He has an obligation to go ahead and bring an actual animal chatos. Then after that, he doesn't realize that he has to, what does he do? He splits the pot, the $50, 25 for a bird ola, 25 for a bird chatos. The Gemara says, what do we tell him to do? Now remember, as an usher, he has to bring an animal chatos. So take the 25 that you set aside for the bird chatos, add on to that, and bring an animal chatos. But you can't ascend, we'll see what he has to do with the $25 for the ola, but you can't add the $25 for the ola into your chatos pot. Why? Because once you had money designated for an ola, that money cannot be switched to money for a chatos. So Mar says, but one second. We'll say, Zonga Metra of Chista. Vaha hacha, delav shas lekicha, delav shas asiyahi. But you should be able to change designations. Why? Because Rav Chista said, Abosai, when are designations established? Right? And one of two times. Either at the time of purchase, or at the time of what? Or at the time of the actual avoda. This is neither. If this is neither, then again, any designations, the truth is, should not stick, should not hold. And therefore, what should he really be able to do? He should be able to therefore take the additional $25 that's now set aside for the ola, and he should be able to what? Put that in the chatos fund. Look at Rashi. V'ha'ha'cha. De'la'achar she'afrish and perish. Ve'ein zu lo l'kicha v'lo asiyah. So this is not the time of l'kicha, not time of asiyah. So again, he should be able to change whatever he wants. To which the Gemara says, v'katani de'kava. And yet we see what? And yet we see that clearly, just the act of separating out the money, separating the funds into a chatos pile and an ola pile is enough to establish their identity, and to a certain degree, like an irrevocable identity. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, the Tizbra, Rav Sheshes, but one second. Let's ask another question. V'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Raboshia, mitame mikdash asher. We'll say this is now the reverse case. Let's say the person who entered into the Beis HaMikdash was rich. He was entering into the Beis HaMikdash tame. He was rich, and what happened? Vehevi carbon ani And now what happens? Instead of bringing a rich man's offering, he brings a poor man's offering. Lo yotza. He's not yotze. So the Gemara says, one second. V'chevan de lo yotza hechi kava. And I will say, now what's interesting about this is the following. Now the Gemara understands over here. Look at Rashi for just a moment with Tisbara. Rashi says, Hach mitaretz tehi va'amra belazer. V'chevan dein karban ani ra'ui lo afilu b'ti eved. Hechi kava le shem ola alayu. And I will say, as we will see later on, if the rich man comes on the Beis HaMikdash Tameh and goes ahead and what? And designates money for a carbon ani, that is not effective because he can't bring, we're not Yotzi with that. And I will say, the Gemara understands over here that he cannot go ahead and then use those monies to go ahead and purchase a chatos animal. So the Gemara says, why not? If again, Lemaisa, what we're saying is true, if he's not Yotze with this carbon, then what? Then there was never a real kavios identity. There was never a real establishing of identity. If there was never a real establishing of identity, then what? Then the money should be able to be used for whatever you want. So we'll say all the Gemara saying over here is it's compounding the kasha. Rather, what do you have to say? Shekvar amar me aniyaso. Rather, you have to say that he made this designation while he was still poor. Now, what does it mean? I'll say, look at Rashi. Elamai istacholameimar. Al karchach mi boy le shibusha ulameimar. Dahai va acharkach diktani shibushu. Elahachim mi boy le misnei. Va omer. I will say, pick up from this point over here. Va omer. Elu lechatos ve elu leola. Va acharkach heeshir. So the Gemara says, you have to go ahead and rewrite the case. What's the case over here? The case over here is where, see, Abosa, the way we originally read it was, he came into the Mikdash when he was an Ani. When he was Tameh, he was an Ani. He went ahead and then he became an Ashir. And then afterwards, he designated this bird for a Chatas, this bird for an Ola. The Gemara says, no, you have to retool, you have to rework the case. What's the case? The case is where, while he was still poor, that's when he designated the money, right? He said, this is for a chatas, this is for an ola, the achar kach he'eshir. And then only afterwards did he become rich. Dibishah shekav asan have karban chazile. At the time that he established these the different identities of these monies, this was an appropriate karban for him. V'cheivan da'al karchach mishabesh tehi, v'rav chista nami hachi tirtza, shekvar amar mishas hafrasha. So we'll say, yes, so now go back to the Gemara for just a moment. The Gemara says, El ma'is techol meimar, shekvar amar me'aniyaso, hachinami shekvar amar mishas hafrasha. So I will say again, what you'll have to understand over here is the following. The same way that we have to go ahead and rework this case. These cases only work if the person, going back to the Ani case, the only habamina is that it works at a time when he actually designated the money while he was still poor. If he didn't designate the monies until he already became rich, so then obviously that those designations are meaningless. Why? Yeah, why? Because lemaisa again, you have an obligation to bring an animal chatos. It's meaningless. No different than the usher who brought the carbon honey. So rather, you have to go ahead and understand that case as where he's made his designations while he was still poor. So too, the Gemara says, the way you'll have to understand these brisos, this brisa, according to Rav Chista, is that when is he making this designation? At the Shas HaFrasha, at the time literally when he's actively separating out the animals. And therefore, again, the Braisa does not go ahead and contradict Rav Chista's point. Ul Rav Chaga, Amar Rav Yoshia, De Amar Yotza, Mai, Is Ikala Meimar. Now, also, here's what's interesting. So apparently, there is this opinion of Rabbi Chaga. Rabbi Chaga says that Metame Mikdash Ashir, if you have a rich person who came to the Beis HaMikdash Tameh, and this rich person brought a carbon ani. Rabbi Chaga says that he's Yotze. Rashi says, Umishum hacha, umishum ha, lo mishtavish umitaretz tehi, v'cheven dechazi lehai carbon b'di eved, matzi lemisne dekava. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So what about, according to Rabbi Chaga, who says that if a rich man brought a poor man's carbon so that he would be Yotze, how would you understand this, Braisa? So the Gemara says, Ma'ika lemeimar. So the Gemara says, Lo tema, v'achar kach amar, ela ema, v'achar kach lokach. V'amar lakach u'mosif u'mevi chovaso. So the Gemara is like this. Let's go back. So Michael and Amar. So what would you say according to him? So the Gemara says lo tema v'achar kach amar. So according to Chag Rav Osa, the way you'd have to read the Braisa is not by saying and afterwards he said, meaning verbal designation, rather ema v'achar kach lakach. Rather, the way you'd have to read the Braisa is by saying and afterwards he purchased. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says lo tema v'achar kach amar. So look what Rashi says. Lakach va'amar, zula chatos v'zula ola. Afterwards, rather, the way you'd have to read according to Rabbi Chaga is acharkach lakach va'amar. Afterwards, he purchased it and said, zula chatos v'zula ola. The avdi t'nai, the mechasri teva achos, ayideshikha, umichlaf luhu. Okay, so he's just explaining how those words could get mixed up. Rabosai, according to Vichaga, what you'd have to say is the following. You'd have to say, lo tema v'achar kach amar, ela ima v'achar kach lokach v'amar, lokach u'mosif u'mevi chovaso ma'inihu. So the Gemara says, according to this logic, what does it mean when it says, suppose all the Gemara is saying over here, is that according to Vichaga, for the Braisa to make sense according to him, you just have to change the terms of the Braisa and not talk about a case where just simply afterwards he's verbal designation. Rather, you'd have to say that afterwards he purchased it and then said. So the Gemara says, 1 second. So the Gemara says, Lakach, Lakach, Mosif, Umevi, Chovas, or Mainihu, Deparikle. So we'll say, according to this then, how would you look at Rashi? Uparchina Lakach. Rashi says, "Im kein mosif umevi chovaso behema, chovaso behema midme chataso mainihu." What would be the case of Osai of where you would be taking the monies that were originally designated for the bird offering, and you would then go ahead and use it for a behema chatos? Hari eno ma'o shekvar lakach ha'ofs. Osai, what I'm saying over here is the following. The Braisa entertains the idea that you can go ahead and change the carbon from a carbon oath to a carbon behema. So the Gemara says, how could you do that? After all, the assumption over here is that the animal has already been purchased. If the birds have already been purchased, there's no money left to go ahead and purchase a behema. So how would you swap this out? So the Gemara answers, deparikle. Oh, you know how you would do it? You would redeem the bird. You would redeem the bird. What does it mean, you redeem the bird? That you go and you transfer the sanctity of the bird onto money. The bird goes up, but now you have money in your hand. And you can use that money to go ahead and purchase the animal chatos. Gemara says, 1 second. Vahat, look at Rashi, parikle, umotzil chulin. You go ahead and you take it out to chulin. Umosif mi beso, the kanamin amaos behema. So you redeem the bird and go ahead and add on to that money and use the rest of that money to bring an animal chatos. Gemara says, 1 second. Vahat in pidyon la'of, but you're not allowed to redeem a bird. Rashi says over here, Ve'a in pinyon la'of, dahachi tanar b'mesechas menochos, aval ha'ofos v'halavona v'akli sharis ein lehem pinyon, shelo ne'emar ele b'behem. Apparently, the Gemara explains that the only concept of redemption, of redeeming something, is only said by animals, by animals for carbonos. But apparently, there's no concept of redemption by birds as well as other things. So how would you redeem it? Amar ha'papa kigon shalakach prey da'achos. What do? You purchase one bird. Look at Rashi. Kigon shalakach prey da'achos. Gozal echad. You purchase one bird. Lakach minat ziburin demos. So I will say what happens. The case over here is where you purchase one bird from the money you set aside. And what do you say? E ola zavin. If you're going to say that the animal, that the bird that you purchased is for the Allah, then what? Mosif umevi chovaso midnei chatas. So I will say, so you buy one bird. And once you buy one bird, what that does is that frees up the rest of the money for the other type of carbon. So therefore, again, if the bird you purchased is an ola, that means the rest of the money is usable for a chatos, in which case then you just add on to the rest of that money and purchase your animal. So the Gemara says, umevi chovaso midnei chataso, v'hai ola azla l'nedava. And this ola ultimately, again, would be used for a carbon adava. Ichatas zavan. On the other hand, if you're going to purchase a bird and you're going to designate it as a chatos, then what? Ein mosif. Then Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, the rest of that money is going to be designated as Ola money. And obviously, that cannot be used for the purchase of your animal chatos. I am the Gemara says, Vahai chatos, azla lemisa. And this chatos itself ultimately goes out for misa. Because again, it's a chatos that can't be offered because you can't offer a chatos as an adava. So the Gemara says, Guva. Amr Balazar, Amr Rabbi Oshia. Metame mikdash ashir. Vehevi carbon ani lo yatsa. Rabbi Chavga, Amar Rav Oshia Yatza. So we'll say, Gemara's quoting the Braisa that we saw before. So Rabbi Lazar, name Rav Oshia, says, that if a person walks into the Beis HaMikdash and they are tamei, and what happens? The person is rich, the person is wealthy, but he brings a carbon of an ani. So instead of bringing a behemoth chatos, he brings kinin, he brings a bird pair. So what happens? Rav Elazar ben Maravoshia says he's not yotzei. And Rabbi Chaga says he is yotzei. So the Gemara says, meisve, reza kasha, listen to this case, Rav Elazar, mitzora ani, shehebi carbon asher. Well, let's say now you have a mitzora. And what happens? Rav Elazar, remember, again, mitzora also has this type of sliding scale carbon. So the person with tzaras, who's an ani, brought the carbon of an asher. He brought a rich man's carbon. So instead of bringing a bird pair, he brought an animal. So what's the halacha? Yotza, right? He says he's yotze. Ashir shehevi carbon ani, lo yotza. And if you have an ashir that brought a carbon ani, a rich man that brought a poor man's carbon, he's not yotze. He's not yotze. So the Gemara says, what's interesting over here is the two cases don't line up, right? Again, remember, in the previous case of metamei mikdash, first of all, you have a machlokes, right? You have Rav Chago who says that if an usher brought a poor man's carbon, if an usher brought a carbon, poor man's carbon, then what? Then Lamaisa again, Rabbi Chaga says that he's yotze. That is yotze. And yet over here in this case, everybody's saying he's not yotze. Furthermore, if you have a mitzora ani that brought the carbon usher, here everybody's agreeing that it's yotze. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, shiny hasam. It's different over there because it says what? Tichsev zos. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, shiny mitzora, dichsiv, the hasam, the over there is mitzora. Mitzora is different. Why is mitzora different? Dichsiv zos. Zos tia toras ha-mitzora, velo acheres. Because by mitzora it says, this is a unique aspect by mitzora, and not by anything else. So the Gemara says, ay, ihochi reisha nami. So if that's the case, what about the first case as well? Look at Rashi, reisha nami, ani shehevi karban asher. So we'll say, remember, what the Gemara is saying is like this. There are two cases in this braisa. Case number one of the mitzora is where you have a mitzora ani that brings a carbon asher. So what's the halacha? Yotze. Case number two is asher shehevi carbon ani lo yatsa. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, why isn't he yotze? Because the pasuk says, zos toras ha-mitzora. Because again, there are specific laws, because the Torah says that an usher has to bring it this way, and an ani has to bring it that way, and if an usher brings it like an ani, he's not yotze. The Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then what? Then what about the first case in the Braisa? What's the first case in the Braisa? We'll say, that's an ani who brings an usher. And what does the Braisa say? That is yotze. But Zos should tell you what? That he's not yotze. To which the Gemara says, good kasha, right? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, yach yireshanami, oh, ha rabbi rachmana toras. The difference over here is by Mitzora Rabosai, there is a ribui. There is an inclusionary phrase. What's the inclusionary phrase? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hasam Rabbi Rachmana, Torah Achos. So Rabosai, the Torah uses this lotion of Zos Tia Toras Hamitzora. Toras Hamitzora, the Gemara understands, is an inclusionary phrase to include all Mitzorain under one umbrella. And to say that the laws of all mitzvot apply to each other, and therefore the Gemara is using this is to tell us what. Therefore, if the mitzvah ani brought the carbon of an asher, he'll be yotze. Why? Because all mitzvot are grouped together. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, again, so hana yirai rachmana toras, but so the Gemara says v'hatanya toras l'rabos mitzvah ani shehevi carbon asher. Yachol afilu asher shehevi carbon ani. But if that's the case, then what? If that's the case, Rav Elazar, then why don't you say that the reverse? So therefore, even if the asher brings the carbon ani, you should also be yotze. To which the Gemara says, Talmud lomar zos. Therefore, by mitzora it says zos, which is a limiting phrase. V'neilef. So Rav Elazar, again, so what you have over here is by mitzora, interestingly enough, two almost opposing drushes. On one hand, again, toras is an inclusionary phrase. And what that comes to teach us is what? That lemaisa, the ani can bring the carbon asher, but yet what? Zos is a limiting phrase. And zos says what? That the asher can't bring the carbon of the ani. So the Gemara says, b'neilif mine. So why don't we learn out from this? So why don't we apply the rules of mitzora to the laws of tamei mikdash, to which the Gemara says, mi'et rachmana v'imdalhu. The difference over here is that it limits over here because it uses lashon of imdalu if he's impoverished. Look at Rashi, imdalu mie to mitzora. There is a limiting aspect in mitzora. So he says, I'm sorry, mie to mitzora. Who the asher shehevi carbon ani lo yatsa. Aval shar chayvi carbon ola viyoreit lo. So we'll say, interestingly enough, there is a specific limiting phrase by mitzora that says v'imdalu. Imdalu is that by mitzora the carbon ani is limited mamish to an ani. Limited mamish to an ani. So it's only by mitzora that if the usher brings the carbon ani, that he's not yotzei. But in other cases, like tamei mikdash, if an usher were to bring a carbon ani, he would be yotzei, at least according to Rabbi Chaga. So what the Gemara essentially answers is, mitzora has certain phrases that limit its halachos to itself and do not allow the application of those halachos to other circumstances. Fine, says the Mishnah. Kasher lashon shbatiyom kibra bosei. Kasher lashon shal zahoris berosh sa'ir hamishtalech. So what happens? We'll say now we're moving along in the service. So what happens? They went ahead and they took red string, and they would tie it on the head of the sa'ir hamishtalech, on the head of the goat that was going to be sent out la'azazel. V'ha'emido kineged beis shilucho. And they pointed that goat in the direction of the gate that it was going to leave. Remember, what gate is it going to leave? It's going to leave Shar Nicanor. So they pointed it in the direction of Shar Nicanor. And what happens? And then they took the carbon, the seir that was going to be shechted, keneged beis shchitaso. And they pointed it opposite the direction where it was going to be shechted. Balo itzal paro, right? Paro shnia. He comes. Ba lo etzel paro shnia. He comes to his par a second time, and what happens? V'somech yado alav. He places his hands on the animal. Umisvader. Rabbi says, now this is the second vidui. This is the second confession. And now he confesses. What is sivakacha yomer ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati? So we already saw the two versions of this, right? It's either pashas avisi pashati chatasi or chatasi avisi pashati. It's just a question if you go from least severe sin to most severe sin, from most severe sin to least severe sin, because remember we already established that a pesha is a rebellious sin, an avon is an intentional sin, a willful sin, and chatos is an inadvertent sin. So he does his vidui, chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha and you besi, because Kohen Gadol speaking, we have sinned before you, myself and my home, ubnei Aaron am kedoshecha, and the sons of Aaron, your holy nation, anu Hashem, please Hashem, kaperna, atone for us, la avonos, la psham, la chatoim, shavisi v'shevashati v'shechatasi lefanecha, ani ubeisi b'nei aron am kidoshecha, kakosu b'soros Moshe amnecha, as it says in the Torah of Moshe, your servant, ki b'yom hazeh yichapra aleichem latar eschem mikol chatoseichem, because on this day you will atone for us to cleanse us from all of our sins, lifnei Hashem titaru, before Hashem we shall be purified. V'hein onin acharam na'agin avos, I remember, he just said again the Shem Hashem, and as we've established, whatever the Kohen Gadol says, the Shem Hashem, they answer, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Vaed. Says the Gemara, Yibaylu, Kasha, Vila Nishchat Akshirakai Oha Modekar. So we'll listen to this. Here's what's interesting. The way the Mishnah read is, the Mishnah said, they took the Seir that was going to Azazel, and what did they do? They stood it. First of all, they tied a thread around its horn. That's number one. And number two, they stood it opposite the area that it was going to exit. And then it said, they took the animal that was going to be shechted, ul nishchat keneged beis shchitaso, and the nishchat, they stood in opposite where it was going to be shechted. So the Gemara asks, when it says and the nishchat, what does and the nishchat mean? Does and the nishchat mean that we do to the nishchat what is done to the sa'azazo animal, meaning that we also tie around its horns a red thread, or does it just mean that we just simply stand it up opposite the place where it's going to be shechted? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Ditani Rabbi Yosef, Kasher Loshon Shal Zahoris, Berosh Seir HaMishtaleach. So Rabbi Yosef said they would also tie a red thread around the horns of the Seir that was going to be sent out to Azazel. Ve'emido Kineged Beis Shilucho. And they would go ahead and stand it up opposite the place where it was going to be sent out. Ulenishchat Kineged Beis Shchitaso. And they would also do the same for the animal that was going to be shechted. They would stand it up opposite the place of shechita. Shelo yis'arev zebazeh, v'lo yis'arev v'achir. that the animals, the two seerim themselves, should not be mixed up with each other, and they should also not get mixed up with other animals. So the Gemara says, "I amrit b'shlama akshira koi." Now, if you say that they also tie a red thread or red wool around the horns of the nishchat animal, then that makes sense. Because then what happens, Rabbi Osai? Then that makes sense. Eli amrit, because why does that make sense? Because that now would prevent that animal, the nishchat, from getting mixed up with other animals. Eli amrit amadakai. But if all you're saying is that the nishchat animal is also stood opposite the Beis HaShchita, then nihid de becharilo ma'arid, then it won't get mixed up perhaps with the Azazel animal, the ha katir bey, the high lo katir bey, because the Azazel animal has a string tied to its horns and this animal does not. However, ba'achrini mihas ma'arid, but lamaisek can still get very easily mixed up with what? With other animals. Therefore, elalav shmamina akshira koi shmamina. Therefore, see from the Mishnah, what Rav Osai, see from the Mishnah that lamaisa, red string was tied around the horns of the nishchat animal as well. So you have red string tied around the horns of the Azazel animal, red string tied around the horns of the Nishchat animal, and that prevents these animals, A, from getting mixed up with each other. You prevent them getting mixed up with each other but in the direction that they're facing. They're placed in different areas, and it also prevents them from getting mixed up with other animals because they each have the red string around their horns. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, first wide line. Shtei Lashono Shamati. I've heard that we use red wool or red string twice. Achos shel para, one is for the para aduma, v'achos shel sa'ir mishtaliach, and one is for the sa'ir that is sent out la'azazel. Achos tzricha shir, v'achos ina tzricha shir. One of the red wools requires a shir, one of them does not. V'lo yedana heminayu, but I'm not sure which one requires a shir, which one does not. Amar Rav Yosef, nichsei anan, let's analyze this. So shel sa'ir mishtaliach d'bay chalukah. By shear, shapard lo by chaluka, lo by shear. So Rabbi Yossi says, I think that it is the red wool of the seer mishtaleach that requires a shear. Why? Because that has to be split in two. The Rabbi say, why does that have to be split in two? We will see later on that what happened is that when they took the seer out la'azazel, they would take the wool that was on the horns and they would split it into two threads. One thread they would keep around the animal, and the other thread they would tie to a rock right by the edge of the cliff. So therefore, because you need more wool, it would appear that requires a shear. You need enough wool to be able to remain on the animal, plus to be able to tie onto the stone. However, para, the red wool of the para aduma does not, also remember, the red wool of para is not tied around the para aduma, but that's part of the whole concoction, that's part of the whole mixture that you have to make. So, but it doesn't have to be split, so the pashtos, it would not require a shear. Maske farayim barchama, one second, the para nami boy kovet. Oh, but you know, by paradum, you know what you need to say. Paradum, you need kovet, you need weight. What does you know to say? We'll see that lemaisa, the wool had to be thrown into the fire of the para aduma. Rabbi say again, in order for wool to be thrown into a fire, what do you need? Yes. It has to have mass, because otherwise, what's going to happen? It'll just float away. So it has to have mass, it has to have a thickness, a weight to it, so that it sinks down into the fire. Amalei Rava, kovet tenoihi. Kovet, this idea that ultimately it requires weight. That in and of itself is a machlokis. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Udit Para. But we'll say again, what comes out from this sugya is Lamaisa again. So first of all, here's what we have just based on this Mishnah. What we have over here from the Mishnah is that Lamaisa, the Para Aduma, excuse me, that's Para Aduma, both Seirim, after the designation, are pointed in the direction in which they are going to go. And what comes out from the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah is that both Seirim have red wool tied onto their horns. This way, again, the mice, again, the red wool will serve a particular purpose, but for our purposes right now, it prevents these animals from getting mixed in with any other. All right, we'll pick up tomorrow. Mixed with each other and mixed with one another. Mixed with each other, that's taken care of through the directional differences.